make sure that you don't give up unnecessarily equity in your business. There might be people out there who are trying to pry into your business and take equity for something like building a website. Definitely don't do that. A client of mine was offered to go into a mastermind of other people who were already selling on Amazon. I instructed her to start up an Amazon account in USA. She said, my coach has said to open up a USA account. And they looked at her in horror. Oh my God, why would you start an Amazon account in USA? Clients will ask their friends and family, what do you think of this product? And they'll all say, wow, it's amazing. You're so good. You won't be able to test the product until you get it into the market. You might do a Facebook poll. You might do an Instagram poll. You might do a friends and family poll. But what I say to people though is, if it's friends and family, ask them. I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. Hey guys, Matthew Fraser here. Welcome to today's podcast. And in this podcast, I'd like to talk to you more about really things that you want to avoid, the pitfalls when you're starting out in your business. And as a seasoned seller like myself, now having been in this business for about 8 years online and actually in business in whole, probably 25 plus years, I've got a lot of experience and a lot of insight into the things that people struggle with, particularly in their startups or their products when launching into places like Amazon. So as you know, I'm doing a mentorship program, and I've been doing that for a number of months now, having transitioned into this space because I really saw a need where I could give back. I could give back because of the experience that I have. And one of the things I hate seeing is people who fail and who can't get ahead. I want people to succeed. And so what I want to share with you today is some of those key lessons where it will help you get through your journey. There's two places. When you're starting out brand new, there's really two places that I see where are the optimal time for quitting or failing. The first time is going to be during the Amazon training program. So 9 times out of 10, people will buy an Amazon training course. They go into it with good intentions. And it's exactly the same process that I took. I started with an Amazon training program myself. But what happens is during that journey is it becomes just complete overwhelm, right? There's just so much information and so many things that you've got to have to learn how to do, from not just setting up your Amazon account. And even in the Amazon account process, it can be really, really daunting because it's like, what legal entity do I use? How do I set up all the international bank accounts and all the, you know, the US government forms? What buttons do I press? That in itself can be a minefield. And then you move into the product selection. And it's like, where do I start with that? And so one thing that I will say is that you need to break it down into bite sizes so that you don't get overwhelmed on. And I was talking to a lady just recently, and she's been in her training program for years and years. And I said, well, what's taken so long? And it was, look, I just didn't have the time, or and basically what she was saying is, She didn't have the time because she didn't know what steps to take for next. Okay. And that's why it's really important to have the knowledge of what steps to take next, hence through a mentor or a coach. But this is her fundamental mistake when she actually went ahead. She designed a product that was completely saturated in the marketplace, right? So let's just say she came up with yoga mat. And there, if you go to Amazon and type in yoga mat, you'll find there's like hundreds of pages of yoga mats. And her great idea was that it was like a unique color, okay? And that unique color just turns out is not going to cut it in the Amazon marketplace. So automatically you're going to fail, okay? Now, unfortunately, when she came to me, she had already put through her first order to the manufacturer. Now we're talking an order in the vicinity of $30,000. So keep that in mind. That's your very first product. She's never launched anything online ever, and she's just jumping straight into a $30,000 product. And I said, oh, once I actually had a look at it, the options I gave to her was this. One, pull out now and lose your deposit of $8,000, that ultimately would have been cheaper, because if she proceeds through option number two, which she goes ahead, it would ultimately cost her in the vicinity of $50,000. By the time you've paid for $30,000 worth of stock, then you're talking shipping. Then it was, she wanted to build out a website as well. You got to hire someone to do that. And the list goes on. So we're talking in the hole for $50,000 of a product that really wasn't going to sell. Yeah, very, very difficult to make the money back. Now, ultimately, my client decided not to proceed because I gave her the right advice. It was going to be cheaper to forego the $8,000. So in that too, the lesson that she needs to learn, and I would express this to you as well, is that you've got to have the market validation, what I call the product market fit. And that's making sure that when you come up with this amazing product, or even if it's like a yoga mat and you're just slightly doing a differentiation, are people going to buy that product? Okay. And the way to go about this is through actual testing. You won't be able to test the product until you get it into the market. But there's some other things you can do around the edges. You might do a Facebook poll. You might do an Instagram poll. You might do a friends and family poll. But what I say to people though is, if it's friends and family, ask them for the money. Yeah, go to them and say, well, I'm doing pre-orders on this product. You give me the $50 today and you will be first in line to get my XYZ product. And that will tell you if someone is willing to hand over their money. Because I've seen this so many times where clients will ask their friends and family, what do you think of this product? And I can guarantee you, nobody wants to be the bearer of bad news. Everyone wants to talk it up. And so you'll go to them and say, look, I've invented this amazing product, or I've made this amazing yoga mat and I'm selling it for $50. What do you think? And they'll all say, wow, it's amazing. You're so good. Wow, this is such a great journey you're on, and you're going to change your life. And what an incredible product. And that's when I say to them, well, go back to those very same people and ask for the money. Now, you find that they don't want to hand over the money, that's going to be your first red flag, right? Because if it was so amazing and they really wanted to support you and your business, your new business, the success, they would hand over the cash. So that is the first thing. The other thing you can do, let's say you've been through that process and you're thinking, okay, they kind of like it, but you don't really know until you take it to the proper market. So this comes down to MOQs, right? What is MOQ? Minimum order quantity. Some people get into this business and they get railroaded by the manufacturer. So this is what happens. You've come up with your unique yoga mat. You haven't tested it in the marketplace yet, but you talk to the manufacturer and they say, in order to do this particular yoga mat, you're going to need to buy 10,000 units as a minimum, and we'll give it to you for, you know, let's say $4 each. Now, the problem is that you haven't tested it. So all of a sudden, if you go ahead with that, you're going to have 10,000 units in the marketplace, of which you now need to store somewhere, right? And storage costs money, and you don't even know if it's going to sell, right? Because what you're taught in a lot of these Amazon training programs is to get the price down as much as possible. And that sometimes is not in your favor, right? So the Chinese, for example, manufacturer might be thinking that you want to get the price down, because probably by this time you've negotiated down to $4 and you're not willing to go any higher. But here's the trick. Go back to the manufacturer and say, look, I don't want to get 10,000 units. I'm testing the market. I want, let's say, even 100 units. Okay. Well, the manufacturer is going to say, I can't do 100 units. But he's only saying, this is the loss in translation part, he's only saying, I can't do 100 units if I'm going to charge you $4, okay? But you'll say, well, what price is for 100? How much per unit? Now, he might say, well, it's $10 per unit, right? So he can do it, but he's just going to charge you a higher price. In the beginning, your goal is not to make money. Your goal is to test the product in the marketplace. And even if you have to pay $10 a unit, and even if you break even, and even if you kind of don't really break even and you come out at a loss, at least you know whether that product was going to be a fit in the marketplace. So let's walk this out practically. You've bought your 100 units, you've paid $10 a unit, it's now cost you $1,000 only plus shipping. You put them into the marketplace, you do all your amazing pitches and you optimize the listing, and then you wait and see. Do people want to buy this product for whatever the price point is, $30 or $50? If they do, you now know you're onto a winning product. You can now go back to your manufacturer and then start talking how much for 1,000 units, how much for 5,000 units. And that's going to be based on what you're comfortable with moving forward within that marketplace. So that is how you can validate your product without going completely bankrupt. And remember, the first scenario was 10,000 units. You could have spent $40,000 on units and maybe they didn't work out. You would have lost all your money. So the other thing to think about when going into the market is profit margins. Now, it's not just profit margin. It's actually also how much you should sell a particular product for. I made this very same mistake, okay? I made the MOQ mistake and I also made the profit margin mistake. And that is that my product, and this we're talking about the chamois. If you want to know more about the chamois, go all the way back to the very first episode where I'd go a little bit deeper in the chamois. But the chamois was costing me about $1.50 and I was able to sell that for about $10 to $15, okay? Now, the problem was I was thinking, wow, $1.50, how cheap is that? I could just buy a bazillion of these and look at all the margin between $1.50 and $15. But what I didn't take into account was the Amazon fees. And the biggest one I didn't take into account was how much money I was going to need to spend on advertising. Because although the product's actually in Amazon, you still need eyeballs on your product. And I can tell you when you're in the car chamois niche, you're not going to, on day one, you're not going to be on the first page. So you're not going to type in car chamois and you're going to be just like smack bang ready for people to buy. You're going to be pages and pages behind. So the only way for you to get to the front page at that point is by paying for advertising, and advertising costs money. And you can imagine if you've got after Amazon fees, let's say about $10, you've only now got about $8.50, let's say $8 of actual gross profit to spend now on advertising. And I can tell you what, when someone's pressing the button on your ad in Amazon, it could be anywhere from up to like $2 or $3 a click. So you can imagine like in three clicks, all your money's gone and you now, and you might even make a sale, but you're now negative, okay? So that's why you've got to think about this profit margin. Now, I would suggest, here's the trick. Make sure that you've got at least, I like to have cost of goods times by at least three. So if you're buying it for $10 landed, I want to be selling it for at least $30. And I also want to have a product in the market that's at least $30 retail, okay? Because as you can imagine, if I exaggerate this out a little bit, let's say you're selling a product for $100, but it's only costing you $35 minus some fees, you're probably going to have about $50 to spend on pay-per-click, right? So even if they spend, if they click three times and it's now $9, in the first scenario, we lost all our money. In this scenario, we've got way more fat in the product and we've now got some profit margin left over, which means money in your pocket, which means you can continue on making more sales rather than going backwards. So guys, let's dive a little bit deeper into a particular scenario that has just come across my desk recently. And it was a client of mine who's new to the e-commerce space, right? But he's a great inventor and he has this amazing product. And you know what? Over my many, many years of being in this space, I've been privy to hundreds and hundreds of products, right? There's so many products that I've actually seen, I can't even remember them all. And there's so many inventors that I've met that I can't remember all of them too. But there's one thing that stands out with all inventors is that they're good at inventing a product, but sometimes they're not good at product market fit. What does that mean? It means they're great at their own idea and thinking it's amazing, but they don't take the next step of testing it out in the marketplace. Generally speaking, they'll ask their family and friends, which give them a big thumbs up and you should proceed with it, but they don't actually test it in the market and will someone buy it? Now, there's a particular story that comes to mind just, as I said, just the other day. And the gentleman rang me up and he said, Matthew, I've got a gentleman who's willing to give me he's willing to do a service in return for some equity in the business, okay? And the person who was willing to do the service was actually a website designer, Okay. So the gentleman receives an email from the website designer and says, "Hey, Jimmy, I'm willing to do a free website for you, but I want 10% of your business." Okay. Now keep in mind, this business hasn't launched yet, right? So there's no sales. It's just the idea at the moment. But the website designer thinks it's a good idea and is kind of on the train of thinking there's going to be a lot of money here. So I'll do my service for free if you give me 10% equity. So as this gentleman's mentor, he rang me and said, "Look, Matthew, this is the scenario. What do you think?" And I said, "Well, first of all, what does your gut tell you?" I like to work on gut. And he said, "Well, I don't really think it's going to work because I don't really want to have someone else. I don't want to have a partner, okay? And I don't want to be responsible for somebody else." I said, "Yes. And the other thing that you should be thinking about," I said to him, "was the fact that there are so many website designers out there. It's not like this guy was unique to his market, right? And by giving up 10%, let's just say that in the future, this guy's business was going to be worth $5 million. That means you're ultimately going to end up paying this guy 10%, which will be $500,000. So you might have saved maybe $10,000 in the beginning by not having him do a website, but at a sale in the future with a valuation of $5 million, you're now going to have to pay this website guy $500,000, which would be totally crazy. Now, the thing to think about also in this scenario is that the owner of the product didn't need the money, okay? So he didn't have to get this website designer to do it for free. He was happy to pay the website designer and simply finish the transaction. So ultimately, that was the advice I gave to him. So it really was like a saving for him of potentially $500,000 by just making a phone call to me and running through those scenarios. And for him, I know for a fact that it was things that he hadn't even considered. And he did say to me, "Matt, if I hadn't have spoken to you, I actually probably would have gone ahead with that deal. And I think that would have been a big mistake." Warning. This is for all business owners. Make sure that you don't give up unnecessarily equity in your business. There might be people out there who are trying to pry into your business and take equity for something like building a website. Definitely don't do that. The website cost is only $10,000, but ultimately you could be giving away millions of dollars on a potential sale in the future. Big, big mistake. One of the other big issues I come across all the time is mindset. And what do I mean by that? I mean self-belief limiting mindset, right? And I just tell you a story. I was at a summit recently and I walked through this summit and, you know, I'm basically one of the biggest sellers in the room. So people are coming to me, you know, giving me their story and I ask them their story. And quite often I say, "Oh, you know, where are you up to in your Amazon journey?" And surprisingly, there was just a lot of people in this room that had been in like an Amazon training program for like years and years and years. I'm talking like 5 years, who hadn't even launched yet. And it got me thinking about why haven't they launched by now? Because when I launched, it took me 1 year from when I started the program to when I actually launched my very first product. So one whole year, which I thought at the time was actually really slow. But now I'm meeting all these people who are taking like half a decade to even, you know, think about launching a product. And there was one story that really stood out. And I was talking to her about what I do for my clients. And I said, what I do is I get them to start their Amazon account straight away, meaning we get the ID checks done, we get the account details put in, all validated and ready to go. And you know what she said to me? "Oh no, I wouldn't do that because you don't even have a product to sell yet and it's costing you like $30 a month." And I looked at her and I thought, oh my God, that's the reason. She's putting a ceiling on moving forward with her product ideas, yeah, because she doesn't want to spend $30 a month. And by not spending the $30 a month, you can't have the Amazon account. If you can't have the Amazon account, you can't send your first product in. So that is a big mistake and something you do not want to get into. You do not want to surround yourself with other people who are also thinking the same thing. Because I also see that too. It's getting into like a mastermind with other people in the room. Here's the next story. A client of mine was offered to go into a mastermind of other people who were already selling on Amazon. Now at face value, you think, this is brilliant. I'm new. These people are already selling on Amazon, so I'm going to get so much value here. But here was the problem. The person going into the mastermind was my client, and I had requested, I'd instructed her to start up an Amazon account in USA. And so you're going to say to me, why USA as opposed to Australia if you're living in Australia? And it's because USA seems like the Mount Everest. If you're living in Australia, the easy path is, oh, I'm just going to start up an Amazon account in Australia for starters. But what happens ultimately is you never then get to where the big money is, which is in USA. So she was going into this mastermind. She said, my coach or my mentor being me has said to open up a USA account. And they looked at her in horror. Oh my God, I wouldn't be opening. Why would you start an Amazon account in USA? Wouldn't you start it in Australia? And this just goes back to, again, the self-limiting belief. They were all thinking that the Amazon USA platform was just way too hard, and therefore they just didn't take the steps to go there. But that's where the money is, and that's where you should go to. There's an old saying right now in the Amazon space, which is that if you can't make it in Amazon, or you can't make it in a business, then you fail and you go and teach, okay? And this was one of the things when I started thinking about my mentoring program, that, you know, I want to be that person who's not just mentoring people, but I'm actually in the trenches as well. Like currently right now, I still sell on Amazon across multiple platforms, across multiple countries, plus Shopify in multiple countries, including Japan, which is certainly like, that is literally Mount Everest getting into Japan. But I want to do that because I want to still be able to know what's going on a day-to-day basis while also providing value and experience to my clients. And so one of the things you want to be careful of when you're looking for a mentor of your own is, do they have the receipts? Okay. Because there's a lot of people in the internet world, like social media, and they can simply put in their bio, I do $1 billion in sales. Yeah. But it actually doesn't mean shit, because if you go into their social media, if they're driving a Kia, there's something that doesn't add up, right? Because if they're doing $1 billion in sales, you're going to think they're probably going to have a Lamborghini or two. And I'm not saying that material possessions matter. I'm just saying that there's got to be some joining the dots and things that kind of make sense in your mind. So that's why you need to look a bit deeper into some of these mentors and coaches. You certainly want to be getting coached and mentored by someone who's in the position that you want to be in, who has already paved the journey already. Because I know that when I was getting, and I've spent myself over six figures easily in my time, not just from Amazon, but also in cryptocurrency, in Facebook ads, in consulting, a whole range of things, yeah, buying businesses online. And I've gained experience from different mentors and coaches along the way, and it's kind of built up my foundation of knowledge over time, because not only have I learned that, but I've also implemented a lot of that as well and got real life experience from that. But I looked back to my very first mentoring program, and I thought, how could I structure my mentoring to be even better than what I had experienced? And so one of the things I do now, which I know people need, is 24/7 access. Now you're going to say, holy shit, how do you provide 24/7 access? Well, I just do. Yeah. I let clients contact me any day of the week at any time, because what I want to see from them is success. And I don't want them to get stuck on anything which then holds them back. So let's just say you're that person and you're going through an Amazon training program and you get stuck. It might be how to set up your Amazon account. It might be which product to find. It comes down to a lot, not surprisingly, is a lot of mindset. People doubting themselves. Is this the right thing for me? And I can obviously talk from experience, because I've gone from being like in negative $1 million in the hole right to now doing over $40 million online and over $100 million in sales, business sales total. And so I have structured the course that way so that it adds real value. There was no one else in the marketplace that was also providing that type of level of access, and who's also at the level of achievement that I've been able to get to myself. So that's why I've joined that sort of program together. Because I can deliver so much value to people, and I'm seeing the results right now. There are people who have joined who just never thought they would even launch a product, and we're now launching products. There's people that have joined with my program who have already got existing products, who didn't know how to take them to market, who didn't know how to scale them, and now we're going through those exact steps of what are they, which market do I start in? Because sometimes, look, not even sometimes, it's always overwhelming when you don't know. And so that's the level of expertise that I provide to people. And you know what? I absolutely love it. I thrive on it. So guys, thank you so much for joining me for this podcast episode. It's been a real pleasure. I hope you've got a lot of value out of that. If you do want to reach out to me for mentoring, please click on one of the links around this podcast, and I'll be happy to talk to you, fill in the application form and see if you're a right fit. And thank you for joining me. I'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.